Timothy chapter 3. We're going to be there and in Titus essentially this morning. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. Here is a trustworthy saying, whoever aspires to be an overseer desires a noble task. Let's pray. Father, as we look at your word, Lord, help us to see it clearly, help us to understand it, help us to commit to live according to it. Father, help us to purpose to do everything according to your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I know we're talking a lot about church stuff this morning. 1 Timothy was actually written so that Timothy would know how one ought to behave himself in the household of God, which is the church of the living God. And we are in the process of not only choosing a deacon, there's going to be a vote on calling a pastor in a couple weeks. Our Constitution says that whenever we choose an elder, we have to go through the qualifications so people know what the qualifications are. And our Constitution also says when we choose a pastor, he's automatically an elder. So it seemed logical to me to talk about the qualifications of an elder. There are two titles. One, elder, which is presbyteros. The word Presbyterian comes from that. It means one who is spiritually mature, one who has grown up spiritually. And Hebrews 5:14 says something interesting about what it means to be spiritually mature. It says, solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Now that's sort of fascinating. Spiritual maturity is not primarily a function of time. I've met baby Christians who were in their 70s and 80s. And I've met very mature Christians who've been saved only 2 or 3 years. Maturity comes from studying the Word of God, listening to the Holy Spirit, and doing what the Word of God says. Maturity is not primarily about how much you know, although that's important. It's about how you have applied what you know to your life. The other word is overseer. In the Greek, it's episkopos. That's where the word episcopal comes from. And it means one who oversees. It's compared to a man managing his household. And if you look at the references in Scripture, it's the idea of supervising, overseeing, watching over. And when you get into the qualifications, I'm just going to go through them and try to give a few comments on each. The first one in 1 Timothy 3 is above reproach. I think I've got the Greek word there. I'm not going to try to pronounce all of them. It means blameless with no obvious area of disqualification. And it's interesting, the qualifications for an elder are also in the book of Titus, chapter 1. And there, my translation says blameless, but it's a different word. It implies not merely acquittal, that word seems to have been coming up this week, but the absence of even a charge or accusation against the person. The two words together basically mean when you're choosing an elder, there should be no obvious disqualification in their life. The next one in the NIV is faithful to his wife. Most of your translations are going to say the husband of one wife. Probably the best translation is a one-woman man. In Greek, the word for man, if it's got a possessive pronoun in front of it, is husband. And the word for woman, if it's got a possessive pronoun in front of it, is wife. a one-woman man. Faithful to his wife is basically what it's about. The next word is temperate, which is, in the King James, sober. It means abstaining from the use of intoxicants. Someone who is clear-thinking and alert, whose mind isn't being clouded by substances, primarily alcoholic ones, is what they're talking about in this context. The next word is self-controlled. This word means of sound mind. Now, it's interesting to me, if you look up Timothy and Titus, both of them are going to say self-controlled, and the dictionaries are going to say that's the best translation of that particular Greek word, but they're two different Greek words. This one is about of sound mind, self-controlled, someone who has his thoughts under control, someone who thinks clearly, someone who sees things as they actually are, someone who is not running on emotion and all over the place. Respectable. The King James says of good behavior, orderly, modest. Modest isn't a word we usually think of in terms of men. We think of it more in terms of women. But that's really what it means. Someone who behaves in an appropriate manner in the situations in which he finds himself. Almost all of our translations are going to say the next word is hospitable. But it's an interesting word. It's philoxenos. Now, philos, phileo, is one of the words translated love in the New Testament. And it means brotherly affection. Philadelphia is the city of brotherly love, although I'm not sure it lives up to it. And xenos is strangers. And what the word literally means is love of strangers. Now, Young's literal translation translates it simply, a friend of strangers. Although most translations go with one of the most common manifestations, hospitable. The idea is somebody who's not zeroed in on a little group, but someone who cares about outsiders when they show up. And someone who shows concern for them. And in the first century context, the most frequent method of showing concern for a stranger was to allow them to come into your home. There weren't too many motels and hotels and all those sorts of things. And in the church, there were strangers who were teachers who went from place to place, and an elder would be expected to take them into his home for a period of time while they were there. The next phrase in my translation is able to teach, didaktikos. Apt at teaching is what my interlinear says. Skilled in teaching is what my Greek dictionary says. Now, Hebrews says in chapter 5 near the end, when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that someone teach you again what are the first principles of the oracles of God. The idea is that every one of us, as we grow and mature in Christ, should come to understand basic doctrine. And we should be able to communicate it in some way, shape, or form. But to be an elder, to be an overseer, the requirement goes well beyond that. Now, Titus says he must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught, so that he can encourage others by sound doctrine. An elder has to be someone who really understands biblical teaching. He has to know the Word of God well enough to communicate it to people who need to know what God really says about all sorts of topics. He has to understand sound doctrine, and he has to be able to refute those who oppose it. In any church situation, you're going to have people coming in, sometimes getting saved, sometimes drifting in from another church, who are going to say, well, I believe this. An elder has to know the Word of God well enough to explain what the Word of God says and why that position is wrong. The next phrase is not violent. You know, I look at that and I say, wow, not pugnacious, not quick-tempered. And in the Greek, you could say not somebody who gets in fistfights. It's quite a word. But the idea is someone who doesn't get angry and get into conflicts. The next one, and I'm not going to try to pronounce all of these, is gentle in my translation. It expresses that considerateness that looks humanely and reasonably at the facts of a case. It's the idea of someone who can look at someone who's struggling and be gentle with them. You know, there's a tendency to look at somebody and say, you idiot, if you hadn't done that, you wouldn't be in that mess. Well, yeah, but that's not the best approach. Someone who can be gentle. The NIV translates it considerate in describing the wisdom from above in James 3:17. Not quarrelsome. Again, literally, not a fighter. Not contentious. Not argumentative. Not someone who's got to have his own way. Not a lover of money. Someone who's not overly concerned about acquiring wealth. Not coveting money. Titus 1:7, not pursuing dishonest gain. When I think about this, the thought that always comes back to me is missionary training. We had a teacher who grew up in China as a missionary kid and then went back. He was the last one out before the communists took over. And we were studying how the church is supposed to work. And we were talking about 1 Corinthians 5, the things that require church discipline. And we said to him, so in the church in China, what thing in that list, blasphemy, adultery, idolatry, what thing in that list were people kicked out of the church most frequently for? And he said, oh, that's easy, covetousness. And we just sort of looked at each other and said, oh my, what would that look like in the United States? Because it's a problem. Being too involved in the making and acquiring of money. And in Titus, the implication is being willing to do dishonest things to get money. There's probably more time spent on how a man manages his family. He must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him, and he must do so in a manner worthy of full respect. Most of you know, I spent 4 years in the New Tribes Mission Training Program. And I will tell you very honestly that I went to New Tribes more because a New Tribes missionary was the first missionary I ever met whose son impressed me. I met a guy at a Christian camp. He was a speaker. He'd been in Bolivia. His wife needed heart surgery. They botched it. She came back to the United States, did everything all over again. She was an invalid for the rest of her life. He had a 16-year-old son, and they were both on fire for the Lord, and they both respected each other greatly. And I said to myself, they're doing something right if they're raising kids the love of the Lord like this guy does. It's a big deal. And the next verse asks a question. If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? Manage is proistemi, which literally means to stand before, to be the leader. So when you look at qualifications for an elder, you look at, do his children behave? Titus goes even farther. An elder must be a man whose children believe, they have to be saved, and are not open to the charge of being wild and disobedient. It doesn't say who are wild and disobedient. It says they're not open to the charge of being wild and disobedient. Titus 1:8, since an overseer manages God's household, different word for manage means a manager of a household or an estate. So when you look at an elder, you look at his family as much as you can, and you ask yourself, does this person know how to be in a position of authority over his children? Do his children obey him? And do they do it without a bad reputation? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become conceited and fall under the same judgment as the devil. When I was in Florida, we went to a alcoholic rehab center. And we were talking to the people who ran it, and someone asked, how often do you take the people who come here as clients who get alcohol free to go out and speak with you? And the guy said, that's really interesting. When we started out, when someone accepted Christ as their Savior, within a couple months, we'd have them go out and speak with us about what God was doing in their life. And then we noticed that everyone we did that with went back to alcohol. And we stopped. And we said, a person has to have been saved and alcohol free for at least a year and preferably two before we'll give them a position of authority on the stage. And it's a very wise decision. One of the things we see is when celebrities accept Christ, and all of a sudden they're an expert on everything because they're a celebrity. And usually within 6 months, you sort of wish nobody had been talking about them. Because a leader can't be a new convert. He must also have a good reputation with outsiders so that he will not fall into disgrace and into the devil's trap. It's one thing to portray yourself as a good Christian with your church family on Sunday morning. It's another thing to live your Christianity in such a way that unbelievers who deal with you in the business world say, this guy's the real deal. So to be an elder, you must have a good reputation with people outside the church. Now, Titus has three or four words that are not used in Timothy. Most of these have been in both Timothy and Titus. My translation, not overbearing, New American Standard, not self-willed, means self-pleasing. It denotes one who dominated by self-interest and inconsiderate of others, arrogantly asserts his own will. The idea of overbearing is putting a heavy weight on something so that you crush it. And this word is about somebody who just has to have his own way. He's got an opinion, and as far as he's concerned, he's right, and everybody's got to bend to him. In 1 Peter chapter 5, when Peter writes to the elders, he says, not lording it over those entrusted to you. You shepherd by teaching. That's what you do. You lead by example. There are times to use authority, but for the most part, you lead by example and teaching. And you don't want somebody to be an elder who's going to be domineering. One who loves what is good. It's from the word for love or friendship and the word for good. And it means somebody who likes to be focused on good things, on good people. We have a horrible problem in this country with all the junk that's available on the internet. Pornography is a huge issue. We have all sorts of things that we can look at that defile us. And an elder must be someone who loves what is good. He must be someone who is upright, one who does what is right without prejudice or partiality. He must be holy. There are a whole bunch of words that are translated holy. This means religiously right as opposed to what is unrighteous or polluted. The primary word translated holy means to be separated unto God. It's not this one. It means to do the right thing in the spiritual realm. And disciplined. The best translation of this is self-controlled. Just like a word we saw earlier. But this word literally means someone who is strong, who is the master of, who is self-controlled. Now this is the one that's used in most of your translations in Galatians 5:23. The fruit of the Spirit is, and the last one is self-control. The first word we saw refers primarily to keeping your mind under control, and that influences your actions. This one refers primarily to actions. Someone who is strong enough to do the right thing when everything in him is screaming, I want to do something else. Okay. These men must first also be tested. Now, the NIV doesn't have the word also, but about 70% of the translations do, and there is a word that should be translated also in the text, which means this verse is about deacons, but they also would go back to elders. And the idea is you don't put somebody in this position without giving them something else to do and seeing how they do and understanding how they do it, and then you have a background from which to make an evaluation. So what do elders, overseers do? Well, Paul, when he talked to the elders of the church at Ephesus, said, keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. Now, you've heard me say that I want to be a pastor, so I've memorized every verse in the New Testament that has the word pastor in it. Of course, there's only one, so it wasn't hard. And actually, that's probably not the best translation. God appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, then evangelists, then pastors and teachers. But pastor has a definite article, teacher doesn't. So teacher describes pastor. And the word pastor is the word shepherd. And the most literal translation, and the one that the English Standard Version did on its first edition and then changed, is those who shepherd by teaching. That's the job. So some things to remember. When you're talking about an elder, and when you're talking about a pastor, most of the qualifications are character qualities. How a man handles his children is a good indicator of how he will lead the church. An elder must have a firm grasp of sound doctrine and be able to effectively teach it. He must be able to use it to encourage, and he must be able to use it to refute. He shouldn't be a new convert, and he has to have a good reputation outside the church. And he should first be tested. If at all possible, a person isn't put into a position of leadership until you really know what they're like. You know, one of the real problems in American Christianity is that we tend to choose pastors based on they've preached a sermon or two, we've read their doctrinal statement, and they've been ordained, and we don't have much more to go on. The New Testament is much more relational, and it's much more about character, and it's much more about getting to know somebody and understanding who they are in terms of church leadership. One more thing I will say. We've gone through this list. It's the qualification of elders. But men in particular, everything in that list is something that should describe us. There's something to look at. And ladies, obviously you're not going to be the husband of one wife, but most of those words are also things that should define all of us as God's children. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it's very clear. Father, help us to obey you, not only in how we present the gospel, not only in how we witness, but in how we even do church. Help us to let you be in charge of everything. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.